Welcome to this edition of Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson.
Second invitation that I want to look at is found in Matthew chapter 11. In Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30, here Jesus extends an invitation and he says this. He says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light."
Today on Back to Basics, Pastor Brian is continuing his study in the book of Revelation. Join us as Pastor Brian begins in Revelation chapter 22, verse 17, in a message titled, "Come, God's Invitations." Now, here's Pastor Brian.
Verse 16, Jesus is speaking to us. "I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, 'Come.' And let him who hears say, 'Come.' And let him who thirsts come. Whoever desires, let them take the water of life freely." This morning, we're going to look at this invitation that we read here. And it, of course, is this invitation to come and drink the water of life freely, take the water of life freely. And the water of life here is a symbolic way of describing salvation. And we'll talk about that a bit later, but just this beautiful picture that God gives to us of what he offers to us, this water of life. Now, of course, as we see, as we know, here we are at the conclusion of the book of Revelation, but notice that we're also at the conclusion of the Bible itself. So we've come here to the end of the entire biblical revelation. And the thing that is really amazing to me to think about is that here once again, we have God extending his invitation to people. And now think about this. Human history is, among other things, it's the story of man's continued rejection of God. Man continues to reject God, continues to spurn God's offer of life. And rather than giving up on man, rather than just deciding, okay, enough is enough, I've offered this so many times and it's been turned down, I'm just going to withdraw the offer. The amazing thing to me is to see how all the way to the very end, God continues to hold out that offer, that invitation is there. You know, think about it. If you yourself, if you were, you know, extending sort of like an olive branch for, you know, for illustration, you know, olive branch is like a peace sign. You know, if you continue to extend that to someone, there's a point, and you were constantly rejected, you were constantly spurned, there's a point you're just going to say, you know what, I'm done, okay? I've tried everything I can. They don't want this. I'm finished. I'm withdrawing the offer. But you know, the amazing thing is God has never done that. And even though history has been just a continual rejection of the Creator by us, his creation, he still offers that gift of life. And we see that right here to the very end. Now, there are a number of places in the Bible where we find similar kinds of invitations. And they begin in a similar way with the invite to come. And so what I want to do today is I want to just look at a couple of those other invitations that are given. And then we'll come finally back to the one that we started with here. But what I want to look at when we take a look at these is to see what the invitation is to and who it is that is being invited. So if we go back to the book of Isaiah, you don't have to turn there, but maybe you want to just jot this down because it's a great invitation there. In the first chapter of Isaiah, verse 18, it says, the Lord is speaking and he says, "Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they'll be as wool." So here's one of those invitations. And notice the invitation is to the sinner whose sins are like scarlet and crimson. Now, make no mistake about it. Everybody's a sinner. We're all sinners. The Bible is crystal clear about this. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every one of us are sinners. But not every one of us sin necessarily to the same degree. Not everyone is affected by sin equally. Of course, in the spiritual realm, in the eternal realm, we are all affected equally by sin. But not all of us are affected equally by sin in this life, because not everyone engages in sin to the level that your sins would be as scarlet or as crimson. So what's being described here is those who are under the control, really, of sin in all of its destructiveness. Sometimes the term is used to speak of people whose lives are just so devastated by sin as people who are engaged or under the control of life-dominating sins. And there certainly are those kinds of life-dominating sins, sins that just literally wreck a person's life so that they can't even live life normally. They can't really even function normally. Now, a lot of these people are addicted to drugs, to alcohol. They're addicted to violence. They're addicted to all kinds of bad behavior. A lot of people like this, now not everybody, but a lot of people like this, you would find them in the prisons throughout the country. I mean, this is the kind of sinner that is being addressed here. And sometimes we have a tendency to think that, well, you know, that kind of person, that somebody who is sinning to that extent, somebody whose sins are so blatant, so obvious, and they've taken such a toll on a person's life, sometimes we might be tempted to think, well, you know, this person is beyond the grasp of God. This person is beyond salvation. But this verse tells us that that isn't the case. Though your sins be as scarlet, though they be red like crimson. You see, God's power, the power of the gospel is such that it is able to save anyone who will call upon the name of the Lord, no matter how deep the pit is that they might find themselves in. So that's something that we can never lose sight of. We must remember that God is able to save anyone and everyone, anyone today who is living and breathing, regardless of the extent that sin has taken its toll upon their lives, they're not beyond the grasp of God, nor are they beyond the invitation of God to come. And so we're talking about those upon whom sin has left its mark. The stain of sin goes deep into the fabric of their life. Sin permeates the very warp and woof of their being. But still, God is able.
We'll return to Pastor Brian's message in just a moment. But first, we'd like to remind you to visit our website, backtobasicsradio.com, you can download a podcast of today's message or stream it for free. So take a moment and go to our website and be sure to sign up for Pastor Brian's weekly devotional. Now let's continue with today's message.
And notice what he's able to do. Notice the promise. Though your sins be as scarlet, they will be white as snow. God is able to take those lives that would appear to other people to be beyond repair. He's able to take them and actually cleanse them to such an extent that the stain is completely removed. That's the promise here. That's amazing. And you know, that's really what redemption is. God is the God of redemption. He redeems things. The word redeem, the idea behind it is to purchase back something that was lost, something that was stolen, something that was taken away. Redemption is buying that back, bringing that back. And God is the God of redemption. You know, one of the places, interestingly, one of the places where there is an amazing work of God happening in our day that we don't necessarily know this because we might not be directly connected to it, but did you know that in the prisons across this country, there is a mighty work of God that's taking place? And this is not the normal kind of a situation. But for about the past, you know, 20 years or so, there's been an extraordinary outpouring of the Spirit in prisons all across this country. And men and women whose lives would be like this, it's being described here, their sins as scarlet, like crimson, the blot, the stain is so obvious, and it's so thoroughly permeated their being that they are incapable of even functioning out in society. Many are being redeemed. Many are being washed. Many are being cleansed. In a couple of weeks, we're going to have a guest speaker on Sunday morning. We have a pastor's conference coming up here in a few weeks, and one of the men that's going to speak at the conference, I've asked him to do our Sunday morning service. His name is Manny, and you're going to love this story when you hear Manny share with us in a few weeks. But Manny, he wrote a book, it's his biography. He wrote a book called Radical Redemption, and it's his story. He was on the FBI's most wanted list. He was hiding from the authorities in South America. He came to faith in Christ. He turned himself in to the authorities. He went to prison, and there in prison, God began to do an amazing work in his life. It's a great story. I'm not going to tell it for him. I'll let him tell it. But just whetting your appetite a little bit. But anyway, through a process of miraculous kinds of things, he ends up having a 55-year sentence or a potential 55-year sentence reduced to just a couple of years. And he gets out of prison, and then God puts it on his heart to reach out to people, men who have come to faith in prison, coming out of prison. So a few decades back, he started a ministry. He lives in the Chicago area, but he started a ministry where he set up these homes to receive prisoners into after they're released from prison for continued discipleship and then to help them get reintroduced into society. But reading Manny's story and reading the stories of many of the men that he has worked with over the years, that kind of stuff always is so astounding to me. It's so impactful. I love hearing those stories. And I was reading in his other book, Radical Prayer, I was reading the story of a man who was, he's sentenced to life still. And he's come to faith, and Jesus has done an amazing work in his life. And one of the people that were visiting the prison, they asked him the question. They said, well, you know, now that you're a Christian, now that God's done all of this in your life and he's renewed you and all, you know, how do you feel about this life sentence? Would you like that to, are you hoping to get out of prison? And, you know, they were kind of thinking that, well, surely this person shouldn't be in prison anymore because they've been so radically reformed by the power of God. And the response of the prisoner was this. The response was, you know what? I need to be here because I need to pay for the crimes that I committed. And if you knew the crimes that I committed, you would be glad that I have a life sentence. He said, but you know what? I've really already been set free. I've been set free from the prison of life dominating sin, and I'm happy to spend the rest of my life behind these bars because in my heart, I am set free. And, you know, that's the kind of transformation that we're talking about that's being referred to here in this passage. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. You know, it's possible that when you come to church here, you might be sitting next to somebody at some point that if you knew who they were, you'd get up and move. You might even move to another church. But if you knew who they were, who they were before they met Christ. But you see, Jesus is able, through his blood, to so thoroughly wash and to cleanse us that we become new. White as snow. I love that picture. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. But that blood of Jesus can make me whole again and make us white as snow. That is such a beautiful thing. So this is the invitation that God gives to that person. And like I said, there's this work of God going on in prisons today. You know, there's a great desire and we long for a move of God's Spirit that would sweep across the land and that we would see many people come to faith. Something similar to what we experienced, some of us back in the late 60s and through the mid 70s there. As a matter of fact, Pastor Greg Laurie is teaching, he's been doing a brief series on kind of the question is, can we experience a revival again? And this is definitely the need of the hour, isn't it? Where the Spirit of God would work so mightily in people's lives as to just grab hold of them and just turn them away from sin. Well, going back to my friend Manny for a moment, Manny believes that God is going to send a great outpouring of his Spirit, but he has a personal conviction that that awakening, that sort of revival is going to begin in the prisons. And, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if he's right. And actually, to some degree, that is happening. So as we consider this invitation here in Isaiah 1:18, let us all know that whether it's for ourselves or for someone else, the invitation is still there to come and have those stains removed by the blood of Jesus. There's no one that's too far. There's no one whose pit is too deep. There's no stain that's too dark that the blood of Jesus can't remove. So that's one invitation. Second invitation that I want to look at is found in Matthew chapter 11. In Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30, here Jesus extends an invitation and he says this. He says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now, like I said a few moments ago, we're all sinners. There's no person anywhere in the world, never has been, who's not a sinner. But like we also said, we have to recognize it, that not everybody has engaged in sin to the same degree, and not everybody's life is marred by sin to the same degree. And so the sort of the manifestation of the presence of sin in people's lives varies to some extent from person to person. And rather than the person who has, you know, their sins as scarlet and crimson and they're right there, it's just a massive blot. You can just, it's inescapably obvious. You can't help but see it. There's other people who aren't really like that externally, but yet the reality is there's still sin there. There's the burden of sin. And Jesus here is extending an invitation to those who labor and are heavy laden. He's talking to those who are weary, the man or the woman who is burdened by sin, weighed down by the heaviness of life, overcome by troubles and cares that are connected back to sin that's in the world and sin that's in our hearts as well. You see, again, for some people, their sins are obvious. Paul even said this to Timothy. He said, you know, some men's sins, they are evident to everybody. They precede them to judgment. Everybody knows, yeah, that person's a sinner. He said, but the sins of some, they follow after, meaning that there are certain people who don't outwardly appear to be all that sinful. But the reality is we are all sinners. And that will be shown ultimately in the final day, in the judgment day. But for those who are not so obviously outwardly sinful, the reality is sin is still there and we labor under the burden of sin. And it's when we come to recognize that that's what is really going on and we cry out to the Lord, that's when he brings us what we are considering here. He brings us relief. He brings us rest. He brings us peace. You see, this is where some people are at. You talk about those life-dominating sins. You talk about people in prison. You talk about people in prostitution. You talk about people in drug addiction. You talk about all that. And they're like, hey, man, you know, I'm not that. But there's something that's not right. Yeah, it's the same thing. It's just, you know, varying degrees. It's sin. And it's the same solution. The solution is coming to Jesus. Coming to him, and as he said, he will take that heavy burden. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. He will take that burden of sin that we bear. You know, sin is a heavy burden, and trying to come out from under it apart from the grace of God, it can't happen. It ends up being a crushing thing. I was talking to a young man the other night. I was at a wedding and I met him there at this wedding. And as we were having a brief kind of introductory conversation, it came up that he was, his background was as a Jehovah's Witness. And for 20 years, he had been involved as a Jehovah's Witness. And he was telling me that, you know, is kind of his family. Everybody's involved with that. And he said, but, you know, I'm reconsidering that. I'm kind of, you know, looking at some other spiritual options. And he found out in the midst of the conversation that I was a pastor and a Christian. So we started talking. And I said, you know, look, here's the thing. Whether you're a Jehovah's Witness or you're a Muslim or you're Jewish or you're Catholic or you're, you know, Hindu or Buddhist or, you know, whatever it is, religion, under whatever label, even if it goes under the label of Christian, religion is always going to be burdensome and it's never going to do anything but ultimately crush you.
Thanks for joining us today on Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson. I'd like to remind you that you can get today's message and any additional resource designed to encourage you in your walk with the Lord at our website, backtobasicsradio.com. You can also follow Pastor Brian on Twitter at @BackTOBRadio or like us on our Facebook page. We enjoy hearing from you. We would also like to send you a gift for supporting Back to Basics. Our gift for this month for a donation of any size is an intriguing book by Tom Doyle that looks into the lives of Christians living in the Middle East. It's called Killing Christians, Living the Faith Where It's Not Safe to Believe. The depth of oppression most Jesus followers suffer is unimaginable to most Western Christians. Both Pastor Brian and Cheryl highly recommend this powerful book. The details for obtaining this month's book and all of our other resources are waiting for you at backtobasicsradio.com or by calling our request line at 1-800-733-6443. That's 1-800-733-6443. Our desire is to encourage you in your daily walk with God. We'll return tomorrow with more valuable insights from Pastor Brian as we study together in the book of Revelation. Back to Basics is the preaching and teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.